Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm constantly amazed with two things. One is how enormous and magnificent the gospel actually is. The word gospel, as you know, just means good news. But it's good news the shepherds heard from the angels. It's good news that is so good that it should create great joy in all those who hear it. And yet, when I'm with Christians, I often don't see Christians walking in the peace he talks about or the great joy. They find themselves victim to circumstances and being reacting to what the enemy does and being discouraged and critical and angry, resentful. And the only conclusion I can come to is that they've never really understood the gospel. See, many Christians think the gospel is, like when I was 12, I did the Baptist bar mitzvah. My sister shared with me about if receiving Christ, you become a Christian, your sins will be forgiven, you'll go to heaven, and I did, and I believe it took. But there's more to the gospel than that. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the transgressions of the one, Adam, his sin, for if by the transgressions of the one, death reigns of the one, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life through the one, Christ Jesus. And so the normal characteristic of a believer is someone who's reigning in this life, not being overcome. I love the phrase when the Gabriel is speaking to Mary and she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Of course you can't do this, Mary. Of course this is impossible. Of course this is a miracle. That's the Christian life. Holiness is impossible. It's a miracle. It's a person. It's the power of the Most High overshadowing our inadequacy and our weaknesses. And so this thing, the gospel, is being grafted in to his very life and existence and him being grafted into my life and my existence. It's worked out in very practical ways. It's just amazing reality. And so it says in Colossians 2 that he says, for you've died, Christian, we died, the old person that we once were, died, the independent self, not the individual self, but the independent self, the slave to sin, the one under the condemnation of the law, died. But you've died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is manifested, then you get to participate in glory. Now, if Christ is my life, that means that I've been grafted into his life. I've been placed into his life and his life story. That he might live his life and his story through my life and my life story. So if that's true that I've been grafted into him, then I've been grafted into his obedience. I've been grafted into his patience. I've been grafted into his long-suffering. I've been grafted into his joy. I've been grafted into his peace. I've been grafted into his patience. I've been grafted into his self-control. I've been grafted into his kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. So you see, when I'm walking this thing out and there's somebody in my life where they seem to be very difficult to love. I know that none of you have ever had anybody like that in your life, but they're just difficult. And so I may say that to the Lord. Well, Lord, they're difficult. And he'll say things like, I've already made that decision for us. I've already made that decision for you. the person who gets to do it his way, on his own, that independent self died. You're not trying to die to self. I took care of that 2,000 years ago, and so now you're grafted into my life, and I've already decided to love that person. So you don't have a choice except to say yes, to trust me, to trust this. Or somebody that who's hurt you and you're struggling with forgiveness. I've heard so many people teach formulas about what it means to forgive. Well, just say this and do it this way. Or you really can't forgive them unless they own their stuff. That's not what Jesus did at the cross. But you see, I've been grafted into his capacity to forgive, his compassionate heart. And so in those moments, Jesus reminds me, I've already decided that for you. I'm your life. I'm not your buddy, your friend. I'm not come alongside to help you. You're not my co-pilot. I'm your life. I've decided that for you already. Yes, Lord. And so then I just rest in the fact, that reality. And then I end up loving or forgiving from him, not trying to forgive for him. There's a huge difference. Times when we walk in the situation, you get hit with peace, with anxiety or whatever, and Jesus says, I've already decided peace about this. I have peace about this. I've already made that decision for you. You've been grafted into my life. Oh, yeah. If you have peace about it, then I do too, because you're my life. I can rest in that. I love this one, because this is foundational. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, the King James says, if we believe not, he abides faithful. That's what the King James says. If we believe not, he abides faithful, for he can't deny himself. This New American Standard says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But the proper grammar here is this. If we don't have faith, his faith remains. Because he can't deny being who he is. Do you understand that Jesus believes that he's adequate for that situation that you're facing? Not outside of you, the one who lives in you, who is your life. He's convinced that he's in control. He's convinced that he's adequate. And so even in those moments when it seems like I can't believe, I'm reminded I'm in union with him. And he's already decided that he trusts in his ability to do this thing. He can't deny himself. His faith remains. So back to Galatians 2:20. We've talked about this a lot over the years. There's a lot of places in the Bible that talks about the faith of God, living by his faith. Is that I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, and this is the language, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So even when I believe not, his faith remains. And that's really what matters. Does a Christian live by faith? Yes. By resting in his faith. And he's got faith for this. Faith in his own ability as God to do what he wants to do. To heal. To give a word, to handle a situation, to release wisdom, patience, whatever it might be. His faith remains because he can't deny himself. So what does that do? That's grace, right? Grace unbends us. It bends me away from thinking it's got anything to do with whether I'm adequate or not adequate. Or I can handle this, or I can't handle this. whether I can muster up enough faith or not. What matters is the one who's my life has faith for it. He's confident in his own ability, and I can just rest in that. Grace unbends me. And the pressure's now on me no longer. It's on him who can't deny himself. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.